This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this January 12th edition of Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. This is Invest Talk. We hope you feel welcome. I want you to bring your questions to the table if you can, if you wish. In a moment, I'll get to those same questions that came in before today's program. If you're a new listener, maybe you're new to investing in general, there are a couple of questions you should be asking. First question is, what do you want to achieve by investing? What's your goal? Don't say, oh, I want to make lots of money. Because everybody wants to make a lot of money. But there's other things you need to ask. Okay, sure, but do you want to do it by just saving money? Okay, you can save a lot of money for retirement. Or is it more short-term that you're looking for? Gains, not just retirement, but short-term gains. Are you looking for swings in the market to take advantage of? Or are you looking for good blue-chip core holdings? Or are you looking for growth stocks? So the answer has a lot to do with how you invest your money. And another important question, just how hands-on do you want to be? Another way of looking at it, the question is, how much time do you have to spend on managing your investments? Now, it does take time, takes effort. And only you can answer these questions. How much time do you want to take? What is really your real goals and how do you want to achieve them? You know, maybe you want to buy real estate and you want to get wealthy doing real estate. It takes a lot more money, but it's very doable. Do you have questions about how much time it takes to be a hands-on investor? I'm open for any money questions. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 45 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric calling from Los Angeles. I'm calling about retirement funds, Roth, IRA, 401k, 403b. I have all of those, and I actually have a majority of it in Vanguard, and that's where I have one old 401k, but I also have a 403b annuity with Nationwide and another one, a 401k with Fidelity. Is there any advantage of me to consolidate all of that into what I found is I prefer Vanguard and have it all at Vanguard? Otherwise, I heard there was an advantage of keeping the 403bs and the 401ks where they are for legal purposes. Maybe they're protected a little more. So other than convenience, is there an advantage for me to move everything to Vanguard right now? I look forward to hearing your answer. Thanks.
Well, there is no advantage not consolidating. You know, retirement accounts are already protected. It doesn't matter if you have any one or five. I mean, the slight matter that might matter is that people can't find them to try to sue you, but they can't get to the money anyways because it's retirement accounts. You can check with an attorney on that. I'm not an expert, but that's my understanding. And yes, there is an advantage to consolidate because every individual retirement account, 401k, 403b, IRA, whatever it is, each one has a fee charged, yearly fee, by the custodian just to hold it open and report to the government. So if you have just one instead of five, then you only pay one fee instead of five fees. So there's always that fee. And it's like $75, $100, $125, somewhere in there, dollars per year. And yeah, it's not a lot of money, but when you have five of them, it's $500, $600. Why do you want to pay it? Why? I wouldn't. So, yeah, I think it's a more advantage to consolidate them than to leave them all helter-skelter. There's other reasons, too. It's hard to keep track of all the different accounts. It's easy to keep track of just a couple, three. So I would definitely do it. I would consolidate them. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. How are you doing, Gene?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Yesterday, I heard you talk about utility stocks, utility sectors being out of favor because of the rising interest rates.
Yes.
And their debt. that they would have to pay on...
they have to refinance the debt.
Right.
That's the theory, okay?
Yeah, right. I heard there was another factor right now, and that is this new tax rate that's going to be enjoyed by a lot of companies. I heard mm-hmm. that regulated utilities, as opposed to unregulated utilities, that they're not allowed to really profit those savings of the taxes. They have to pass those savings on to their customers.
That is kind of true, yes. And that is I think this new tax law is going to help the higher growth, smaller companies.
Unregulated.
Yeah, the unregulated.
Right.
Much more than it helped the regulated, because they're regulated. They're going to keep them from making too much money. You know, when I say they, the regulators are going to keep them down. They can't take advantage nearly as well as those companies that are not regulated.
Right. It's just like if utilities, if all of a sudden the price of natural gas falls, they have to pass that on to your customers. They can't just take those as increased earnings.
No, they can't. Not like an oil company, like an ExxonMobil or Chevron. They can take advantage. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So that is another reason utility companies don't do well in a rising interest rate environment, and this new tax law is not going to help them at all.
And if investors all see that all the other sectors are going to increase their earnings because of this tax cut, but the utilities won't, I guess that increases their likelihood of being out of favor.
Yeah, might as well get out of them. Wow, exactly. Your thinking is absolutely correct. Appreciate the call. So, yeah, doesn't mean you don't buy any utilities, just that you know what's happening and why they are so weak. And is that something, you know, I always, every time I think about a certain sector or see something, certain sector weak, I think about opportunity in that sector eventually. So I keep watching that sector, keep an eye on it, see when all the stocks in that sector, when the entire sector starts to improve, then I want to jump in. If you'd like to try our newsletter risk-free, just go to investtalk.com to sign up. Today we have the 5 biggest trends that will affect your money in this year, 2018. Plus, I want to talk about the Boston Fed, Eric Rosengreen. He's waving a little warning flag up there, and let's talk about the flag that he's waving. And is there opportunity in natural gas, MLPs, closed-end funds? Natural gas, MLPs, kind of ties in with the utilities we were just talking about. And I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail. And yesterday we didn't get to it, but I want to talk about, you know, the new bull market and a warning that Craig Johnson has thrown out there. He's been very, very bullish. And he's kind of getting a little nervous. So we'll talk about that too. It's something we were going to talk about yesterday and didn't get to. If you'd like to try our, by the way, what happened to the market today is up again. So it was a very good week, up 228 points on the Dow, 49 points on the NASDAQ, and 19 points on the S&P 500. Kind of interesting things going on there. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. So maybe you have a real basic question, like what type of investments are available to the average person? Picking and choosing individual stocks is what people think of when they think of investing, but maybe you might want to consider an index fund. That's been very popular. How do you choose an index fund? We can talk about that. Now, if you have money question or comment, check in now, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jerry in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Jerry?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, and I appreciate the call.
Good. So PG&E, I know the lawsuits are all kind of priced into the stock right now.
Yep.
But I'm thinking the entire stock market is going up except for PG&E right now. Is there somewhere better I could put my money?
Yeah, there is. PC&G, you know, has been oversold. Everybody's beating it up. And the dividend, they cut the dividend because they're trying to build a war chest. And we all know that. But, yeah, there's better places to be. Right now, we're still in the midst of a bull run for growth stocks. I think we're going to have a switch sometime this year to value stocks, but we're still in the midst of a growth stock run. So I would either look for a good value stock at a discount or just follow a trend on a good growth stock and keep a tight stop.
Okay.
you would do better than PC&G.
Okay. And if I wanted to short the market, is there an ETF?
Oh, yes. There's like five or six. Oh, there's dozens of them. SH shorts the S&P 500. I'm trying to remember all the various shorting ETFs. All you do is put in a search. Please give me the short ETFs and write an index, and you'll get a bunch of them.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you. PC&G is the PG&E company, you know, the energy company, distribution, natural gas, Northern Central California. They were blamed or being blamed. Or everybody's trying to blame them for the fires up there. We'll see. We'll see. Let's go to Vitaly in Atlanta. How you doing, Vitaly?
Hey, doing good, Steve. How are you?
Good.
I had a question about Intel. I recently purchased it, and I want to know, I'm not sure if I actually got in at the right time, and I want to know if it's a good hold for short-term or long-term. Just what do you see happening with Intel?
Did you see the news on it and the problems with their chips and people thinking that they're falling behind? And that's why they've been going down here in a recent month or so.
Is actually why I bought in, and I was seeing if possibly could bounce back up.
Yeah, I think it could easily bounce back up, at least to the $47 area, at the very least. It is it's going to make $327 next year after making $325 in 2017, and that's up 19% from 2016. So $325 in a $43 stock, price, that means the PE is pretty reasonable with a return on equity 21%. I mean, it's a big blue chip stock, pays 2.5% dividend. And, it's a kind of a core holding that I think you could hold on to for some time. And I think you're picking it up at a decent price at $43. Not a great price, but a decent price. If it ever went down to 36, 35, 36, that would be a great price. But it may not get there. I don't know. So as far as a holding, I think your buy point was okay today. Not too bad. Okay?
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Thanks, Vitaly. And the reason why I say that, because it's a double bottom right around 43. It bottomed here in the beginning of December, and then it bottomed here just, a couple days ago. It's trying to hold. So we'll see. That's a double bottom. Okay? Let's go to Raphael. Is it Raphael in New Jersey?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Raphael?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve, I called a while back, but I guess I wasn't too clear about what I was trying to get across. I'm calling about Ping An Insurance, PNJY.
PNJY. Okay.
P, Peter, Nancy, Golf, Alpha, Yankee.
Okay. See if I can get it. PNGY.
PNVAY. Yeah.
Okay.
Ping An Insurance.
Okay, got it.
It's an ADR. Yeah.
I got it. Okay, so, what's your question?
Now, what I wanted to let you know is that this is really exciting because this company, which is just a huge insurance company, they're actually coming out with the fact that they have a lot of technology that they're trying to uncover right now, like peer-to-peer lending, all this stuff. They've actually been developing these companies that are getting up there in valuation, and they're going to start spinning them off. So the reason I was calling for you guys is to see what do you think this thing should be valued at.
I'm going to have to hold you on. I'm right up against a hard break. I'll hold you over, and I'll answer the question. This is Invest Talk, everybody. 888-992-4278. Thanks for holding on, Raphael. I appreciate it. So let's take a look at PNJ Insurance Group out of China. It's an ADR, PNJAY.
Yeah.
And you want to you consider buying it, Raphael?
I own it already.
Okay.
2 months ago when it was basing, and I'm up about 35% now. But thanks for that. Mm-hmm. And what I was trying to inform you about, I've come to find out that there's a bunch of technology the company is unleashing now that they've been developing for 5 to 7 years, and they're pretty big deal things, like things that they're selling off and licensing and spin-outs and IPOs they're going to start spinning off, like peer-to-peer lending, all kind of this crazy tech stuff. And it looks like the stock is in the process of trying to be revalued from an insurance company to more of a tech company.
Well,
and I'm excited about that because it's only around 13, maybe 14 times forward earnings.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been growing pretty nicely over the years here, going back to 2007 or so. So I think, you know, as far as a valuation on the company and its growth prospects look pretty good. I can't talk to the technology switch that you're addressing because I'd have to do a lot more research on that. I will say it's had a very, very good run. I mean, it's up over 100% in a year. So usually that means there's going to be a pullback, and it's coming up to a double top right now. So if it breaks through that old high it made back in late November, if it breaks through, then you just keep holding on to it. It's going to go. That's where you have resistance on a chart, but the chart looks very healthy over the last year.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate the
call. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Raphael.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. The only fear is it's gone done so well. You know, it needs probably to take a respite, probably. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Let's see, if I go to, where was I? Okay, five biggest trends that will affect your money in 2018. These are like massive economic macro kind of trends. For instance, and we know about the first one that's on the list, and that's the direction of interest rates, U.S. interest rates. We know it's going to rise. In a rising interest rate environment, 100% of the time, that slows down the economy and slows down the stock market. 100% of the time. The problem is we've never had interest rates this low that it's rising from, and it has made no difference so far at all. Remember, they started raising rates going on 2 years ago. What did the market do last year? Marched straight up in 2017. Despite interest rates rise. And they're going to raise the interest rates probably three times. And I'm going to talk about Boston Fed Chairman Eric Rosengreen. He thinks it might be four times this year. So they're raising interest rates. That's going to have an impact. At some point, it's going to impact asset values. At some point. And we also see that it's probably impacting utilities now. Okay, how about economic rebounds overseas? The economies overseas are now growing finally. That's going to have a major impact. And you've already seen emerging markets beat the U.S. market last year. So, you know, we've already seen that impact, but it's going to be continuing. Those foreign economies are probably going to get stronger. Number three, something that's not so positive. Assets always revert to the mean of their increase in values. Assets always revert to the mean. And we've had a very long run where growth has beaten value, except for 2016, value beat growth last year. But there's a point where growth will no longer beat value, and those growth stocks will revert to their mean PE ratios, price to sales ratios, return on equity ratios, it eventually return to those. Okay, so just know that. Even when their assets are undervalued, we talked about, a couple stocks today, and they'll revert to their mean. If they're good, solid companies, they'll revert. In other words, go up. What else? There's five of them. I'm not going to go through all five. We might be seeing a new normal. The new normal where there's higher valuations, higher price earnings ratios, price sales. But every time I think about that, I pull back because I think that's wrong. Because things don't change. valuations are valuations over long term. These are what the valuations are. Short term, they can do anything they want. But I don't want to, you know, tell you that, oh, we're like in the dot-com era where we're saying, oh, this is a new paradigm how to do business through the internet. Therefore, you know, you don't have to worry about earnings and sales and profit margins. And that was totally false, totally wrong. All those dot-coms went out of business. You know, so it's not, I can't see it being that different, even in the new normal situation in which, I mean, think about, we're now coming up with a new kind of currency. That's a massive change in how we've done business. Interesting stuff going on. Coming up on Next Invest Talk, the top five software to track your assets in 2018. That's one of the topics that's going to be on Next. That's tomorrow or Monday. But what's on your topic today? My direct line is 4 to 5 Pacific time is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. You've probably been hearing a little bit about the fiduciary laws. They've been postponed. That is the expansion of the fiduciary laws. But registered investment advisors are bound by these laws from the Security and Exchange Commission. That hasn't changed. Historically, this has been the code of the registered investment advisor. A fiduciary is required to act in the best interest of their clients. Those not bound by the definition of fiduciary are only required to make decisions for their client that are appropriate, but not necessarily in their very best interest. If you have questions about the role of a fiduciary or a registered investment advisor, you're welcome to click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com. That's investtalk with two T's, investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're glad you're here today. Don't be shy. If there's a question about money that you'd like to ask, bring it to Steve right now. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Ben from Pearl River, New York here. Love the podcast. Thank you. Briefly put, I'm wondering what you guys think of T. Rowe Price Spectrum Growth Fund. The reason I ask is my wife has a Roth IRA with T. Rowe Price. It has very little money in it, about $5,000. She's 34. I'm 38. I have a decently healthy income, and we are looking to maximally contribute to her Roth IRA starting immediately, year in and year out. And I feel that we're in a position where we can be a little bit aggressive with that investment. And it seems to me that the Spectrum Growth Fund from T. Rowe Price is aggressive, or for that type of investment, aggressive. Her IRA currently is with T. Rowe Price, so we're going to just maybe roll it over into that. Wanted to get your two cents about that. And if you have a better idea, please feel free to tell me. Look forward to hearing the answer. Thanks, guys.
Well, there is the T. Rowe Price Spectrum Income Fund, which is RPSIX, which is the symbol given to me. That's not a growth fund. You're looking for growth, this is not the fund, because 84% of it is bonds, 10% is stock. So if you're talking about symbol RPSIX, that's the T. Rowe Price Spectrum Income Fund. You're not going to get growth, and at your age, you shouldn't be investing. You should be investing for growth of your portfolios, not income. This is a nice income fund. It's a four-star Morningstar fund. It pays a 3.26% yield. That's all really good, but it's not what you're after. So unless we got the wrong symbol, you need to call back and give me the proper symbol for the T. Rowe Price Growth Fund. Okay? Sorry I couldn't help you with that. A question from our email bag. Hello, Steve and Justin and or Justin. I have two questions that I'd like to have answered on InvestTalk if possible. The first is, what is your opinion on the stock PLM? PLM. That's a Polymet Mining, a small miner that owns a copper nickel precious metals project, not yet an active operation in northern Minnesota. Well, I can tell you I don't like it. I don't have to look at the numbers. It's not active, therefore it's not making money. It's a penny stock, selling for $1.05. Recently it's gone up nicely. But they're going to lose money this year. They've never made money ever, going back to 2011. They're losing, they usually lose 3 or 4 cents per year every year. Well, why would you buy that? Would you buy, sell, or hold this stock? I would not buy it. I would not hold it. I'd get rid of it. I hold a position and I'm considering selling because I think the stock will settle back into the 75 cents range. It, you know, no one knows, there is no value because there's no earnings. You can't tell where it is, so I'd sell it. I see that it has moved up from 60 cents to, you know, $1.05. I'd just take my profits and run if I were you, if you have profits. Okay? The second question is more generic. The market is up across the board and several stocks I own are doing well. Is this a good time to sell off and gain the benefits of the January effect and tax rate changes before the Fed increases interest rates? Or could this rise in the market be sustained? I'm 30 years old and not sure whether it is a smarter to employ a buy low and sell never strategy or cash out gains when sharp rises like this occur. Okay, if you're in the market and you've had a nice run, it's not time to jump out of the market. It is time to start slowly selling back on your gains. In other words, producing some cash, because there will be, there will be a correction, and I just don't know when, and I don't know how much. But it never hurts to sit on some cash. Everybody worries about, I'm missing out. I got too much cash on the sideline. You're not missing out. There's always opportunities coming around the corner. So you look at your individual stocks. You determine the valuations of those stocks. You determine its future growth prospects, earnings prospects, and why did you buy it? Did you buy it for the dividend? Then why are you considering selling it? Still paying the dividend, isn't it? Did you buy it for growth? Well, has it started to slow down its growth or stop its growth? Then maybe it's time to exit. I tell people when I teach how to invest, I tell people you have to write down why you bought the stock. And that if you wrote down, I bought this stock because I think it'll go up, then you would fail my class because that would be an F. That's not why you buy a stock, because you think it's going to go up. Everybody buys stocks thinking it's going to go up. Of course you want it to go up. But that's not the reason you purchased the stock. You bought it because it had value. It had growth. Return on equity is going. Profit margins are high. There's no debt. There's things that you look at. Return on equity, return on assets. You know, it has a new widget that's coming out next year that no one else has. What? There should be those kinds of reasons why you bought the stock. And when those reasons no longer apply, that's when you consider selling stock. That is a way to sell a stock. Oh, they no longer apply. Or some of them, or most of them, or whatever. Okay? 888-99-CHART is our number. We're going to go talk to Lee in San Mateo. Hi, Dun Lee.
Hi, I'm doing just fine.
Thank you for the call.
And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is, I just purchased, I think it's ETF, ticker symbol, V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, Q as in Queen, and it has been going down ever since I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I just hang on to it? Or should I get rid of it?
Why did you buy it?
I thought, that's a good question. It was a Vanguard ETF.
Yes.
And it's a real estate desk. So I thought it might go down, but it would eventually come up.
This is a Vanguard REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the MSCI U.S. REIT Index. It pays a four mm-hmm. point. The reason why you would buy a REIT is, and the only reason you buy a REIT really is for the income, because they pay 90% mm-hmm. of their profits in the form of a dividend. They have to pay 90%. Mm-hmm. And so they usually have very good yields, and this yield is 4.5%. 4.5%.
Which is not that good.
Yeah, uh-huh. Which is very good. It's not great, but it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been coming down. Why would a U.S. REIT index fall? And the reason would be, is because interest rates are rising. If you're looking at the junk bond market, or not the junk bond, but the bond market overall, you'll see that the bond market has been falling sharply. And why? That means that interest rates are rising. And interest rates hurt REITs. Rising interest rates hurts REITs, because REITs borrow money to buy properties, or borrow money to whatever it is they need to borrow money. The cheaper the money, the more they make. So the idea is, you probably don't want to be buying REITs. You got to be very careful which ones you're buying in a rising interest rate environment. You can buy REITs, but you don't want to buy just any old REIT. You know, maybe a medical REIT or some specific REIT. But I wouldn't buy just a plain old REIT. Okay?
Okay, then.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the
call. I am looking into financial, stocks. And I'm thinking of, I know it's so high now, I'm looking into UBS or Bank of America or Citi. What is your thought on that? Is UBS Bank of America?
Well, I think the financials have had a pretty good run. And I think they probably will continue, because a slowly rising interest rate environment actually helps financials, because they will, as long as it's not a spike in interest rates where everybody stops borrowing. Slowly rising interest rates means usually the banks make more profit, not less profit. And the banks are right now are rising because the world economy is picking up and our economy is picking up, and that's very good for financial institutions. Got to be careful, though, like UBS. I mean, it's at a new 52-week high. It's been rising, rising, rising. There's a point where it's just been rising so sharply that chances are high that it will have a decent pullback. And you buy that pullback. Okay, Lee? Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Hempindra in Union City. How you doing, Hempindra?
Good, good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Calling about one of the old stocks we spoke a little while ago.
Good old Teva.
I was down about 60%. Now I'm down about 25%. What do you suggest?
I think it's going to go back up to around 30. It's going to. And it's at 22 now. This is Teva. Teva Pharmaceuticals. Remember how they got crushed? And, you know, I was moaning. Everybody was moaning because I owned it too.
You would sell some around 15 or 16, I think.
That's right. And so now it's finally come back pretty good. I mean, geez, it's $22 now when it was, that's double almost where it was. That was a slow. So
it happened in very quick time too, right?
Yes, it did. Time. Yes, it did. 2 months. So if you're a patient, you're a patient.
I am.
And I think it's going to continue to rise. You know, all the bad news is already out. Unfortunately, I bought it before all the bad news was out. I thought all the bad news was out when I bought it, and it wasn't. So, I don't like to be wrong, obviously, but I like to point out that we are wrong. We, meaning us investment advisors, we're not right all the time. We're not. That's why you never buy too much of any one stock. You just don't do it, because sometimes you're wrong. Anyway, Teva Pharmaceuticals. I do like the company long term. I think it will turn around. Very large generic drug maker.
And just one more question, Steve. In the same space, we have Mylan. Do you have any thoughts on that?
On what?
Mylan,
M-Y-L. Mylan. Okay, Mylan. Okay. Take a look at Mylan.
Same space.
That's Mylan Pharmaceuticals, develops generic and branded drugs. They're also moving up nicely. Okay, they're going to make $5.41 next year after making $4.54. That means the PE is like 8, 9. Okay, I still fairly inexpensive. The only negative I see is this most recent quarter, their sales fell 2% when they've been growing over 10, 15% per quarter for 2 years. I'd like to find out what happened in this most recent quarter. And the stock still moved up, even though sales fell. So you'd have to say, why? maybe it's a temporary thing. And if it's a temporary thing, yeah, still it'd be a good. It's a very solid company, and we're talking about a $25 billion company. So it's got really good numbers, and yeah, I do like the company.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you,
Upendra. I appreciate your call. That was Emma Y.L., Mylan Pharmaceuticals. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, Boston, Eric Rosengreen, Boston Federal Reserve for that region of the country. Remember, there's like the Federal Reserve presidents, there's like 12 of them across the country. 9 of them vote, plus, of course, the chairman. Well, he warns of an asset bubble building, not in stocks, though, in commercial real estate. He says it makes it very difficult for the Fed because they want to slow down that asset, that particular asset, commercial real estate. And he says it hasn't, like, spiked up or run away. It's just getting higher and higher and higher. And the Fed is caught between a rock and a hard place because it wants to keep raising rates, but it doesn't want, and it wants to prevent any bubble developing. And he thinks because of that, it's going to make it very difficult for the Fed to engineer a soft landing when they raise rates. And he thinks they might have to raise rates 4 times in 2018. Remember, he's one of the Fed, one of the 12 Fed chairmen or Fed presidents. So, you know, you've got to pay attention to what they're saying in their little speeches they give up. Some of those speeches are designed specifically to manipulate markets. They do that on purpose to, you know, to try to signal what the Fed wants, really. So that's always interesting. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Have you ever heard of Craig Johnson? He is the chief market technician for Piper Jaffray. And he's been calling, stating that the long-term bull market is in place, and he's been pushing it for some time. Well, he thinks it's about over. He thinks we're going to have perhaps a 20% correction this year. 20% correction in the marketplace this year. Now, he says, you know, because the market's going to revert to their mean. Remember, we talked about earlier just 10 minutes ago that the market's going to revert to the mean. And that means that the norm is corrections. We haven't seen that norm. But he's predicting that we're going to, starting this year. I'm not so sure we're going to see 20%. We could, obviously we could. I would be very comfortable with a 10% correction. I think that would shock a lot of people, though, because they haven't seen it in so long. I think the average person out there would think that that's a new bear market with a 10% correction. Just so you know, bear markets are defined as more than 20% downstroke from a high on an index. More than 20%. That's a bear market. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. If you'd like to get your question before we're done for the day, well, you're ready. You got to do it. 888-99-CHART is our direct line right now. Let's talk to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding Amazon. Now I see the estimate being reduced for next year. Though stock has been going up, but the retailers have come back. So Amazon is not taking any retail from them, Target or Walmart or Kohl. Everybody has upped their target. So what is the situation with Amazon? Where it can stop or... something.
Well, it's going to stop.
Because everybody's pumping it.
Yeah, everybody's pumping it up now because, you know, out to today was retail sales for December, and it said that Amazon took some more market share from the big box stores, and so therefore, you know, everybody's excited about Amazon. But you got to remember, they're only going to make $8 next year, $7.95. And yeah, that's a great increase from $4.33. But when you make $8 and the stock is $1,305 a share, making $8 is not a lot for that kind of price. I mean, what is that? 170 PE? I don't even know. 8 into 1.
The problem is it is pushing NASDAQ. If Amazon goes up, then NASDAQ is impacted.
Matter of fact, those big tech stocks have pushed up all the indexes. I mean, that's what's driven. And people don't realize that this is a pretty narrow rally for most of 2017. I mean, most stocks moved up, but hardly the value. Go look at the value index. And you see value stocks didn't hardly move at all. It was all growth and confined to big, big companies, tech mostly. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Big drivers. So and then throw in Boeing in there.
Stop. They have 1,500 target on this. I don't get it.
Well, do you remember in 1999? Do you remember the experts were saying, you know, all the stocks that make no money and had no business plan, and they would give targets like $80 a share, $150. They were just guessing. They would just guess. And that's what they're doing with Amazon. They're guessing. Manny, appreciate the call. Thanks for the call. Let's go to John, San Jose. How you doing, John?
Good.
Go ahead.
I have a question on MLY.
Yes.
I bought this for a dividend, but it seems to be going down.
That's a REIT. It owns and manages finances, mortgage pass-through certificates, and collateral mortgage obligations. They've been going down because bonds have been going up. Interest rates are moving up.
Right.
That hurts REITs, and that's why it is going down. If interest rates keep going up this year, the REITs are going to have a hard time going up in price. They still pay you the dividend, but they'll have a hard time going up in price, John. So it's all about interest rates right now for them.
Yep.
Okay?
All right, just confirming.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Reba. How you doing, Reba?
Hi, Steve. How you doing? My
good.
Question is about Microsoft. So there's been a couple of questions the last few days about Intel and everything that's going on with the chips, and I was wondering what you thought about Microsoft.
Microsoft is a great blue chip company. It's $691 billion size. They're growing their sales at about 12-13% the last couple of quarters. Very good for such a big company. Earnings are going to be $3.79, and they're an $89 stock. So what that PE is 22, 23, and their five-year range is 10 to 26, so it's at the top of their range. It's a very solid company. I don't know if you can buy and just hope that it keeps moving up because it's at a new 52-week high, so there's no resistance on the upside. Myself, I'd probably wait for a pullback. It's not nearly expensive as somebody like Amazon, but it's still expensive. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Microsoft, MSFT. MSFT. Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, I will be in San Jose on February 7th for individual retirement views. I can take a look at your retirement accounts if you like, make some suggestions, tell you about some of our programs. It's February 7th in San Jose. To save your hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP, thank you for joining us today. And have a good weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.